And happy Hanukkah! Jews celebrating the rededication of their temple years ago and the miracle of enough oil to light the lights will light the sixth candle on the menorah tonight. And as they celebrate this Jewish holiday, many of those same families will also be preparing to celebrate Christmas or some other religious ritual. They are interfaith families. According to a recently released Pew Center survey of American Jews, a record 50% of Jews in America married outside of the faith, and of the 1.8 million children in homes with at least one Jewish parent, 300,000 of those children are being raised in two faiths. So some Jewish Americans worry that their community might assimilate itself out of existence. And they are not alone. According to some surveys, over a third of all marriages in the U.S. are between partners of different faiths, and that number rises to nearly half for people marrying in the last 10 years. Susan Katz Miller's new book is Being Both, Embracing Two Religions in One Interfaith Family. She is the great-granddaughter of a rabbi and is married to the great-grandson of an Episcopal bishop. They are raising their kids in both faiths, and her New York Times op-ed got a ton of response, not all favorable. Susan joins us in the studio. Susan Katz Miller, welcome.
Thank you.
And you have spoken about this before, so you knew what the response might be, and boy, you got it. Let me just read some of the comments. Many, many, by the way, very supportive of your thinking and doing the same thing. We'll get to that. But the criticism is largely, as someone writes, Judaism and Christianity are fundamentally inconsistent faiths. Anyone who celebrates both Passover and Easter is at best failing to understand at least one of them. How do you square the faith part of this, that Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the way to God? Jews believe that the Messiah hasn't come, and in the meantime, you do good works, you do mitzvahs.
So we're not trying to resolve those differences. We're really not trying to square them. What we're doing is we're giving our children access to understanding of all of the variety of beliefs that are represented in their families and in our culture. So we're explaining to them, some people believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Some people believe he was more of an inspirational metaphor. Others believe he was a historical figure. And you have to ask someone what their personal beliefs are to know. You can't make assumptions based on their religious label. So for instance, if somebody is Jewish, they might be an atheist, or they might be a mystic.
But you're talking about ethnic Judaism, no?
Well, it's very hard in Judaism to untangle the culture, the ethnicity, the beliefs, the religion. It's really interwoven in a way that's hard to pull apart. What I would say is, if somebody believes that Jesus is their personal savior, then they are a Christian. And our children understand that, and they understand that they might make that decision at some point in their life to have that belief. But we're not teaching them what to believe. We're teaching them all of these possibilities, and that every individual grows up and makes their own decisions about their beliefs and their religious practices, even if they're from a single faith religious background.
Well, it doesn't happen to everybody, as you know. I mean, there are some people who are raised, and you're nodding, is there some people who are raised in homes where there is a firm belief in something, and to, as you say, evolve and shift would be heresy. Here's another letter from, it looked like a very young man on the comments pages. He writes, "This article leaves me baffled. You speak of faith and religion as if it's nothing more than a cultural identity, what we were just talking about, with songs and prayers to make us feel good. I believe my Christian faith is real. When I pray, I'm talking to God. Judaism denies that Christ is the Savior. For a Christian to be interfaith would be then to reject Jesus Christ. And that to him is heresy." And many families live that way, that you can't, it just isn't sort of a smorgasbord. It is important from the get-go to have that faith.
But what Pew Research national surveys are showing us is that there is a tremendous rate of flexibility and flux in adulthood among even those who are brought up with a single religion. Yeah. So in childhood, you might have that, but you're still going to go out and make your own decisions. What I would say is that the families that are doing both in an interfaith families community, we find great spiritual depth to what we're doing. So it's not simply secular Hanukkah, secular Christmas. Coming together as families and talking about the fact that we are families in which love transcends these boundaries, is an inherently spiritual experience. I agree that it's important for children to have community. And if your interfaith family can choose one religious community, that's wonderful. But not every family can or will do that. And so what has happened is families that want to do both have come together. It's a kind of a grassroots movement and formed these communities so that we have religious education programs where they are in classrooms, where there is both a Jewish teacher and a Christian teacher in each classroom, so that the children can talk about their own thinking process and how the two religions interplay in history and how they interplay in their own families.
And tell us more about this, because how does this work? So it's not in somebody's living room. There's literally classroom instruction, and then the children are encouraged to go to brick and mortar churches and synagogues.
Yes. In at least three major cities, Chicago, New York, and Washington, there are programs now where there are over 100 interfaith children in each of those areas in interfaith Sunday schools. Yeah. And it's a complete program from, you know, nursery, pre-K, up through teen group. It looks very much like a religious education program in, you know, a Sunday school in a church or a Hebrew school in a synagogue. And we try to give them as much depth as possible in both. For instance, our group in Washington, they start Hebrew literacy in pre-K.
Would a child in the interfaith families in your community, for instance, that have parents that are one Christian, one Jewish, could be one Hindu, one Jewish, would those children be bar or bat mitzvah when they become of age?
That's a personal choice. Each of the programs has an interfaith group coming of age ceremony where they talk about what they've learned in their years in the classroom together. But individual families will also choose to have a bar or bat mitzvah in some cases. And that's a decision that the parents make with the child, and it does have to do with to what degree that child is feeling Jewish in that period of time. But again, this can change.
That's our conversation on interfaith families with Susan Katz-Miller. She's in favor. Her book is Choosing Both. But what she just said, leave it up to kids to choose, is raising a lot of hackles. You can leave a comment at hearandnow.org or at facebook.com/hearandnowradio. When we come back, Susan, doesn't having two faiths confuse kids?
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's Here and Now, and we're talking about the rise of interfaith families with Susan Katz-Miller, her new book is Being Both, Embracing Two Religions in One Interfaith Family. Her New York Times op-ed about a grassroots movement of interfaith families like hers, forming communities to bring up children fully in two religions, has caused quite a stir. One reader who teaches Hebrew school wrote that he remembers a student who was upset about a grade on an exam. The student thought he had it right. The parents backed him. They told this teacher that the Torah can be interpreted through Christian eyes, and the teacher responded, yes, it can, but then it's not Judaism. And he also writes that unlike what Susan claims, a child will be confused in an interfaith home. And Susan, here's another one from a person raised in an interfaith home. He wrote from Uruguay that he had an identity crisis, that Jews on the one hand ignored him in college because he was Christian. Christians ignored him because he had a Jewish last name. He felt he didn't belong anywhere. So, Susan, address that kind of identity confusion for kids.
We like to say that complexity is not necessarily confusion. I surveyed 50 teens and young adults who were raised in these interfaith family communities, in these religious education programs, and some 90% of them said that they were not confused. And even the 10% who said they were confused often claimed that as a kind of a positive spiritual wrestling, intellectual engagement with the material. What I'll say is it was much harder being an interfaith child in the generation that I grew up in because religious institutions were really opposed to interfaith marriage. And this is something I've had to deal with all of my life. I've had to defend my identity as a Jew. My parents chose Judaism for me, even though I was from an interfaith family. And I've had to defend that identity all my life. And that is difficult on the one hand, but also character building on the other hand. And what we tell parents is your children are interfaith children, and they are going to have to defend their identity no matter what it is. If you give them a single religious label, they're going to have to defend that identity, because people struggle when they see interfaith families. They don't quite get it. Yeah. And there's a level at which I think people born into these families get interfaithness, bothness on a level that even their parents are never going to completely understand, because they were raised in a single faith.
It's so interesting you say that your parents were interfaith and assigned you a faith, and that was harder for you than what you're now doing, maybe in reaction with your own children, bringing them up in both faiths, you're nodding yes and giving them a choice.
Well, I think my parents made a very good choice. There weren't a lot of choices in 1960 when they got married. Every clergy member was urging them to choose one, as most clergy would still do today. There were benefits to the choice they made to raise us as Jews, but there were also drawbacks. And so any pathway you choose, whether it's one religion or the other or a new religion or both or all religions, there are going to be benefits of that pathway and drawbacks. But in each case, you're still raising interfaith children. And part of what we do in these interfaith family communities, and what I would urge all religious institutions do, is to help the children to feel positive about that interfaith ancestry and to see themselves as bridge builders and ambassadors of peace who represent this love that transcended boundaries, rather than feeling that it's something negative.
Well, in fact, your interfaith community is led by both a pastor and a rabbi. The pastor is the Reverend Julia Jarvis. The rabbi is Harold White. They told you that, as opposed to the fears that Jews have, that this might lead children not to be Jewish, that in fact, the fact that it's not being imposed on them, they are choosing to be all Jewish. Is that, do we have enough statistics yet to know what children in interfaith marriages are choosing?
I really was hoping when I wrote this book to inspire more social scientists to look at this, because we really don't have any statistics yet from academics. I surveyed 250 parents and asked them to report on how their children were turning out. And these are all parents who put their children in these formal interfaith education programs. And they reported a higher percentage choosing Judaism than choosing Christianity. And of those who were still interfaith or both, more of these kids, these young adults, said that they leaned Jewish, whatever that means. Now, a lot of them talked about the possibility of choosing a single religious identity someday in conjunction with a spouse, that when they got married, they might choose one. So it's not that they feel torn between the two parental religions. That's something people have worried about. It's more that they feel both, they celebrate both, they see the advantages of staying connected to both, but that they might make a decision to choose one someday when they marry.
And just one last thought. I was stunned at the number of children in homes with at least one Jewish parent. It's unbelievable. 1.8 million. That's it, out of a country of over 300 million. And of those, as you write, 300,000 being raised in two religions. So that leaves something like 1.5 million being raised as Jewish. And then you also have the branch of Jews that are Jews for Jesus, you know. Do you understand the fear of Jews that's a very small number in America, that they might worry that they lose the number of Jewish children?
I absolutely understand that fear, and that is one of the reasons why I raised my children with passion for Judaism, connection to Judaism. My son learned Hebrew and read from the Torah, and they only have one Jewish grandparent. So for my family, if forced to choose one, the logical choice would have been Christianity. Instead, in raising my children with both, I see that I am passing on Judaism because I feel passionate about it. So I do understand the fear and I empathize with it, but I don't think that forcing families to choose one or the other is a successful strategy. I think we have to have confidence that Judaism is very compelling. People will be attracted to it because it's a vibrant religion and because it has a lot going for it, and that we have to realize that children born into interfaith families will have choices, even if we try to label them one way or the other, they will have a choice and they will continue to make those choices.
Well, and I'm sure it has not escaped you that we have such an odd intersection this year of Thanksgiving, the uniquely American holiday, and Hanukkah, the Jewish holiday. It sort of seems to be a metaphor for the kind of melting pot faith that you're talking about.
I realize both Thanksgiving and Hanukkah on some level celebrate religious freedom, so there is a nice synergy there. But I would point out that families that are raising children with both religions in a serious and intentional way are not celebrating Chrismukkah. We don't try to blend and mix the two. We're trying to explain the common ground, but also the very important differences. Yeah. And we're trying to give children an understanding of the real religious meanings of these holidays, not telling them what to believe about them, but explaining the true meanings, going beyond the secular. So Thanksgiving, okay. Chrismukkah, no. Not for us.
Susan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Susan Katzmiller, her new book is Being Both, Embracing Two Religions in One Interfaith Family. Interesting, Jeremy. She said kids were choosing Judaism when they grew up in two faith families. I mean, early research. And Pew Research says early studies showing that she's right. They are.
Well, and I think there are probably a lot more of these interfaith families on the way. I've been to a number of weddings in the past many years, and I would say more than half of them have been interfaith.
So we didn't mean to upset the apple cart at dinner tonight. Of course, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
But a lot of food for thought.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.